Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the Olivet Discourse, my comments on it. We're talking about the time that Jesus was asked by his disciples, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? It's a simple question, and if you read it carefully, it's a simple and yet very difficult answer. I'm trying to piece together every piece of it, every word of it, because it all matters. We're on apostasy and family betrayal now. It's found in Matthew 24:10, Mark 13:12, Luke 21:16. Here we go. Matthew says, and at that time, many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and mislead many people. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will become cold. Mark 13, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. Luke says, but you will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, other relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Now, what did Jesus really say? Well, you piece it all together. Different men heard different things, but there's no contradiction between the three. You just have to piece it together. I'm not putting it together in one big paragraph, but you can do that. It's done. It's been done many times. These men were not robots, not machines. They wrote what they heard, and the Holy Spirit gave them that memory to write what they heard. Some heard different things, but not that Jesus spoke different things. Well, we still see the word you, at least in Luke, indicating that family betrayal could happen among the families of the apostles. We know for a fact that such traitorous acts have taken place in families over the ages. Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, others, Hindus, have been known to rape and destroy and kill family members who dared to leave the faith of their fathers. The church family also will suffer reversals. A great falling away, predicted also by Paul, will encompass the earth before Jesus' return. No, a great revival is not going to usher in the return of Christ, but a great apostasy. We've been witnessing this scene worldwide and now in our own nation for many decades. How far into the depths of separation from the ways of God men in and out of the church can go? Well, we're not sure. But the falling away is underway. Still, the absolute end is not in sight in these verses and in our world. The sign they have awaited has not been uttered, and in our day has not happened. One doesn't know how deep the betrayal in home and family will become, but when you see this happening and the slide towards persecution from God continuing, know that it cannot be long before Jesus returns. And hated by all, 24, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Mark says the exact same thing. Luke says the exact same thing. There's agreement here by the three writers, though the statement does not follow an exact sequence in all. The use of nations by Matthew, I think, is a clue that Jesus is now seeing well beyond the view of his present band of disciples to the you of the later days, when nation after nation will turn against Christ and his message. Behold Europe today. Behold America in its last throes of freedom, perhaps, and holiness, as I speak these words. All nations will at one time or another come against Jesus and Jesus' people. But then endurance is enjoined and promised in Matthew. But the one who endures to the end is the one who will be saved. Mark says the same. Luke says, and yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Here the accounts differ. Jesus said all of this, but different writers, again, picked up this or that part of it. Luke lets us know that we will indeed endure to the end. And by way of a resurrected body, we'll lose nothing of value for our stance against the evil one. God puts into his people a desire and an ability to endure all things. This fact must color the seemingly cold demands of Matthew and Mark. It's not that we are capable of such endurance in our own strength, but strength will be given us as needed. Here's the first mention of the end. He who endures to the end of this world's government before the government of Christ is ushered in, the end of the suffering and the shame, the end of Antichrist. More about the end now follows as the prophecy comes to a climactic moment. And that's the worldwide proclamation of the gospel. Look at 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Mark says, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Mark's order is different, though. And notice his addition of the word first. Before this last array of serious persecution is leveled at the disciples of Christ, there's a worldwide preaching of the gospel. Matthew doesn't deny this by putting his statement last in the paragraph, but together we should read this, unlike it is being read today, I think, that at the very end of the age there'll be of necessity a once-for-all preaching of Jesus. That's not necessarily so. This gospel, listen, this gospel has been preached in all the world for centuries. As far as we can tell, using the idea of nations and not individual people groups within those nations, this prophecy could be fulfilled today. The ambiguity of the statement makes it an unlikely answer to the original question of the disciples about a sign that his coming is near, along with the destruction of Jerusalem. True, the end will come when the gospel has reached its last audience, but how will we know when that has happened? It's not clear, but very clear is the specific material that Jesus now enters. So thus far, we have a series of things that people will see as the approaching end, which are not to be seen that way. False messiahs, deceivers, wars, famines, earthquakes, apostasy, hatred, killing of believers. It's all coming. It's all come. Most of it from the beginning. Surely this was not the truth they were after. But were they still listening now? Are you still listening now? A very specific sign was asked for, and a very specific sign is now given and can be looked for and understood. When we see it, we will know. No more guesswork. No more scanning the newspapers, wondering if Jesus is coming soon, or is that the Antichrist now? Keep your ears open. Keep your ears open. Listen to this sign. It's in 24:15, 13:14, and 21:20. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, and then it says, Matthew says, let the reader understand. The reader. Mark, now when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, notice the difference there, standing in the holy place, standing where it should not be. And again, let the reader understand. Luke, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. So finally, the answer to the question, what shall be the sign? They asked for a specific something that they would be able to see and know about. So far, everything is general and happens all through history, but not this. This is a one-time event. Look at it, see it, and you know the end is near when you see it. Even specific guidelines as to how to respond to it are given. This is the sign. Now, I know immediately there are issues. Luke's account is so divergent as to make readers believe that all of this was fulfilled in first century Israel. Not so. Not so. Let's be careful. First, let's truly harmonize this verse. There's been no need to harmonize thus far because the accounts were so close to each other. But recall that any time there's a difference, especially a big difference, it's not that Jesus really said one thing but didn't say the other, Rather, it's that one writer recorded one thing but didn't record the other. Here was the entire truth. I have tried to harmonize this. This is my attempt at a harmony of these three verses. When you see the abomination of desolation that Daniel described in his prophecy, something placed and standing where it should not be, there in the holy place, and Jerusalem is surrounded by armies, then you can know that the desolation of Jerusalem is near. And by the way, this information will be written and passed on to a generation that will have to read about it in a book. That's my harmony. This is a once and future prophecy. It's an event that in one sense already happened, but it's going to happen again. Daniel wrote about it. A time when a ruler would arise, make things desolate, sitting on the wing of abomination, which it could be a wing of the temple. Paul says he will take his seat in the restored temple of God, saying that he is God. A full and detailed reading of the last chapters of Daniel and 2 Thessalonians 2 will open a person's eyes to what is coming and has in some measure already come. I know there have been antichrists of old, like Antiochus Epiphanes and Titus, and I know they've placed in the temple their false idols, their pigs, whatever, to desecrate God's holy place, or so they imagined. Jesus here declares that another one is coming, another Antichrist, at the end of all things. This one will place himself, says Paul, in a place where he should not be, in the temple. The temple that's going to rise again. That's signal number one when you see that. But that's not the only signal in this passage. We've got to include Luke. Matthew and Mark don't include so much of this. Luke adds what he heard. Jerusalem is going to be surrounded by armies. I know it happened before. Jerusalem's forever being attacked and decimated. Yes, in A.D. 70, there were events that took place that sound so very much like what is here predicted. But it will happen again. In a greater scale, the greatest scale ever. Do nations still besiege other nations by such a surrounding? In our day, when nuclear weapons can so easily be used from a distance, I can imagine it very easily now, can't you? It's 2022 as I write. My answer to all of this is Ukraine. Nuclear war is attempting to be avoided by some men who have at least a little sliver of sense left in their brains. But the placement of tanks and artillery all around an enemy nation can still be used to threaten and to lay siege. Thus it will be in Jerusalem again. I repeat here what I mentioned above. Jesus said that when this last event was concluded, not one stone would be on another. In fact, as I said, there's an entire wall still standing today from that era, proving to me that the prophecy of Jesus is not fulfilled yet. The world still hates Israel. The world's still going to try to stop her existence as a nation. The coming Antichrist will have convinced the world that Jews must be exterminated like Hitler did. And they'll be well on their way to doing this. We're not told how far the siege goes. In Revelation, Antichrist's attempts are thwarted. But here, at least, the attempt is begun. Antichrist is the ruler of the world. Jerusalem is surrounded. And an abomination, by the way, will always make desolate. It did in Antiochus's day. It did in Rome's day. It will again. Do not think that history cannot repeat itself. Surely it will. And I'm convinced that it will because this passage, this event, is linked immediately to the coming again of Jesus, both here and in Daniel 12. Daniel 11 and 12 speak of the devastations of the final king, an unprecedented time of trouble, same words Jesus uses. distress. And the resurrection of the righteous, all in a few connected verses. The same is the pattern here. You follow the discourse, you'll see that this is true. And then one final point that Matthew and Mark both record. This will only be understood by readers. Now, just how far the Gospels had circulated in the years before A.D. 70, that would give them about 30 or 40 years, it's not clear. But I don't think it was that far. Now, the injunction to read about these things rings true because I just read it. You can read it. The entire world can read it if they get a Bible. It's a book-led generation of the church that will be able to see these things coming and act upon them. Jesus was here reaching out to you and me, dear listener, dear reader. Let's obey him. He says, let the reader understand. That's a command from Jesus. Next time we'll talk about the response that people will have in that day to what is coming. Yeah, they did it before, but they're going to do it again. It's going to be so much worse than before. Write it down. It's already written down. I'll let you go early tonight. I won't go through all my commercials. All right. Thank you so much for being here. Do come back. This is the Hatbury House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk again about this real soon. Bye-bye.